Well, I'm glad you're here. Are you glad that you're here? And those of you that are, you're either in the house or you're in your house. And either way, we're glad that you're with us today. We're going to have a great morning today. How's that with you guys? Okay. Hey, we're going to pray in just a moment. And I want to toss out a little perspective to you real quick. Think about this. How many of you know we're in some troubling, challenging days? Okay. Here's some perspective for you. You are more blessed than you are bothered. Think about it. You are more blessed. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You're way more blessed than you are bothered. And you would not have to look very far to find somebody really in more dire straits than any of us are in. I walked in yesterday. Alicia was watching a documentary on TV. I won't go into all of that right now, but just the situation and things that those people were going through there. I told her, I said, you know what? We have no problems. We have no problems compared to that. The other perspective I would give you is this, how you view your problems, and I'm not saying that we don't have them, I'm not saying that we don't have challenges, but how you view your problems reveals how you view God, okay? So are your problems bigger than your God, or is your God bigger than your problems, you know? And that's a perspective that we certainly have to keep. I don't know about you, but my God is great, He is greater, He is able, and nothing shuts Him down, amen? He's not old, stale, dusty, pasty, you know, worn out. He's vibrant. He's the eternal God, and He is well able. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me this morning. And those of you at home, just lift your hands where you're at, and just everybody, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Connect your heart right now. Let's just focus on Him. Father, thank You for this day. And Lord, the sun came up again, and Your covenant still stands. And Lord, we're still Your people and You're still on the throne and our trust and our hope is in You. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord. This is kind of a day for a holy reset. Here we are on the Lord's day seeking after You. And I just pray that in this time today, we would just magnify the Lord as the psalmist said, magnify You so that we see You as bigger than all the other situations of life. And God, for everything that we're having to navigate through in life, in culture, in our homes, in our relationships, all of those things, God, we thank You that You're our guide, You're our good shepherd, and that You will see us through. Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not have to fear because You are with us, and we thank You for that. So, Father, I pray that You'd help me now to deliver Your word in the right way today. And we pray that when everything is said and done this morning, we want You, Jesus, the Lord of our life, the head over all things to this church. We want You to be pleased. We want You to be honored. And Lord, we want that these Your people, every single one of them would be helped today. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. And amen. How about a great big welcome for our East and online campuses? So glad you're with us. God bless you. It's going to be a good morning. You may be seated. You may be seated. So, yes, we welcome. So glad that we can be in the house. And I'm so glad we have East Campus open today. And also then everybody at home. And we want you to know that we're doing our very best at our live locations to keep people safe, to keep you comfortable. We will get through all this. You do know that, okay? We will get through all of this. And in the meantime, it's just important that we be wise and careful. And, if you're not comfortable and you're at home, whatever that would, your situation would be, we're going to give you our very best at home as well. And this is the Lord's Day, and we're going to hear from the Lord today through His Word. And we're just glad that all of you are part of that today. Amen? All right. Well, I'm continuing on a series called Encounter. An encounter means to meet, to come upon, to discover. It also holds the idea of to rediscover. And so for the times that we're in, and actually for all times, we need, don't let this sound religious to you, we need an encounter with Jesus. I mean, a real encounter. Not religious, not just Sunday school-ish, not just ritualistic. We need a real living encounter with Jesus. And I'll go ahead and say this is a big claim, and that will change everything. That will change everything because you're now connected with things way, way beyond you. So it is time, it is actually past time, consider where we're at, y'all, it is past time for each of us to really get serious about our faith and about our relationship with God. I really thought I'd get a better amen out of that, but it's okay, it's okay. No, no, it's too late. But it's time. Everybody say it's time. It's actually, I honestly believe it's past time for us to get serious about our faith and about our relationship with God. Have you ever had a class, maybe, you know, think back junior high, high school, and, you know, you didn't get serious about that good grade until like 2 weeks before the class is over? Remember that? too late. Well, it's really time for us, you know, think about this. Our faith is how we overcome in this life. And our relationship with God, that's the most precious, most powerful thing that we can have in our life. And so really, it's time for every one of us individually, don't live on somebody else's faith, you, to have a vibrant, overcoming faith and a vibrant daily relationship with your Father God. Amen. And you say, well, Pastor, that's what you always say, more or less. And it is, and it is. And that is constantly my focus. That is constantly what we're working toward. That is constantly what we're, you know, aiming toward and trying to help you with. And let me just let you inside me just for a moment, too. That's my struggle. That's my, you know, my effort and my thoughts constantly is, you know, how can I help you? You know, how can I serve you so that you have faith that overcomes? I don't want a bunch of religious people. They're no fun to start with. I'm just checking out who's here. And then they just don't overcome. And you know, how can I truly help you to be happy, stable, fruitful, blessed, so that you can be a blessing and ultimately bring glory to God? I mean, that is the struggle of my heart. How can we help? And everything we do here is focused on that. We have that in clear view. But I just wonder sometimes, like I said, it's a struggle. I wonder, are we doing enough? What else could we do to maybe help? And I really realize, and this is long term, y'all. This, we're coming up on 31 years of this church, and this, it's still the same thing inside me constantly. You know, when I'm coming here and preparing, and when I drive away in a couple hours, when I drive and go to have lunch, you know, it's like, did we do enough? And I have to trust that God does His part. I've firmly committed to Him and to you that I will do my part. And that leads me to one other part. Your part. And I want to kind of provoke you a little bit and push you just a little bit toward a little bit more of your part maybe concerning this. So here's a quote that kind of sums it up well. This is by a pastor and author. His name is John Tyson. He's in New York City. He said this. Watch this. I couldn't have said this better. I am constantly amazed at how little fruit comes from the labor of my sermons. We have to get people into the scriptures themselves for deeper formation. One talk a week cannot do what daily meditative reflection on God's word can, and then the power of living it out. So one talk a week's not going to do it, you know? And our greatest effort, I don't care if I glowed in the dark while I delivered the message, you know, and hovered over the ground, you know, 8 inches, and told you what mail you're going to receive tomorrow. You know, it's not going to be enough. Something has to happen, and it's for you to get founded in the scriptures for yourself. So all that taken together, here's what we're after today. You must encounter Jesus through the Bible. You must encounter Jesus through the Bible. You must discover and rediscover the Bible so that you can discover and rediscover Jesus and truly have an encounter with Him. And again, I'm not talking about a religious kind of thing. I'm talking about real deal, matters to you, makes a difference in everything, how you conduct yourself, how you think, what you value, all of those things coming out of this personal, living, vital, vivid encounter with Jesus. And the best way to do that is through the Bible. Some people are just after this ethereal, foggy, mystical, can't track it down encounter with the Lord. Now, I've had encounters with the Lord. I trust that you have too, where you just felt his presence. Come on. Where you just know that God is with you. Those times where you feel like, wow, the Lord reminded me of that, or the Lord warned me of this, or the Lord held me up in traffic so that I, who knows what he protected me from, that he gave me favor, that he opened doors. I know those. I've had those. I trust you've had those. You know, the Apostle Paul writes about a time where he was arrested and went to trial just for preaching the gospel. And he says, and when I stood there, and his life was, you know, in the balance here, he said, no one stood with me. Nobody came. He said, but the Lord stood with me. And he strengthened me. And at that point, Jesus is in heaven, but he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So we do have that. But I want to take you back to the surefire way that we can have an encounter with Jesus, a real encounter with Jesus, and it is through the Bible. Amen. Look with me in John chapter 14, verse 6, from the Bible. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We need to have this encounter and know that Jesus is my way. He's the truth for all. He is the life, eternal, abundant, now and later. And he is my way to the Father. So Jesus, whether you know it or not, well, let me put it this way. Everybody is searching. Everybody is. There's a spiritual emptiness. When we've not had this encounter with the Lord, there's a spiritual emptiness, and people are trying to fill that. They're trying to fill it with all kinds of things and relationships and activities and possessions and just staying busy or numbing themselves. I mean, everybody is searching. And what we need to really realize is Jesus is the goal of our search. He is who we are looking for. I've been saying it the last few weeks. It's time to stop looking for something and look for someone. And the someone we're looking for, it is this personal encounter with Jesus. So the caution would be that in our searching, because everyone is a searcher, everyone is searching, everyone's trying to fill this emptiness, this hunger, this thirst, that in that searching, you've got to be careful that you know what you're searching for and you're paying attention, you're intentional about that search. Because otherwise, who knows what you'll end up with? And that's what happens in so many lives. I know something's missing, and so I'll just do this or be there or go there. And you know, the results of that can end up not well. Yeah, one way to kind of relate to it is, how many of you have ever gone to the grocery store without a list before? Come on. You have. How many of you know that's dangerous? Especially if you're what? Hungry. Okay. Oh, that looks good. I want this. And then sometimes, you know, when I go, you know, I'm a grown up. I can get what I want at this store. Yeah. Or if you go to Target or Walmart and you got something I needed to get. And, you know, if you go in that way, how many of you know, you're going to start at, oh, that's what it is, and you got a few things, and then you got to get one of those baskets, right? And then before you know it, you're stealing somebody's cart, right? Because you're over, and you come out, and you've got frozen broccoli and a soccer ball and a lawn chair and a new blow dryer. Am I telling your story, right? And then you get to the car, it's like, how did I get this? And then when you get home, you got to explain to your spouse or whatever, why'd you buy this? It's like, I don't know. And then sometimes our life is kind of like that as well. And we have to, again, remember Jesus is what we're looking for. Jesus is who we're looking for. He is the goal of our searching. And I want to show you today how to encounter Jesus through the Bible. Now, it's not just knowing the Bible, which I do recommend, but this is about finding Jesus. Look with me in John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus is having to deal with the Jewish religious leaders. And he said to them, because they were real religious, he said, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. Come on, read this with me. But the scriptures point to me. The scriptures point to me. And I promise you, throughout all scripture, it points to Jesus. Jesus is found throughout the scripture, and there are ways that we can find him and encounter him in the word in some awesome ways. So here would be a real deal question. Well, can I trust the Bible? Can I trust the Bible? Or why should I trust the Bible? You do realize we're in a post-Christian culture, post-Christian world. We're in a post-truth world that, you know, everybody's got their own truth or no truth, and it's a moving target. I just want to remind you, let me just throw this out there. God's word is truth, and it's forever settled, and you can stand on it. It is a rock that will not move. It's an anchor that you can anchor your soul into the truth of God's word. But I can say that to you, but some people, because of their experience, because of the tradition they came up in, or just their friends even, they go, can I really trust the Bible? Why should I trust the Bible? And maybe you've had, you know, some bad experiences or whatever. So let me handle this just for a moment here. This has been a thought I've had for a long time. Millions of people who have rejected Christianity and have rejected the Bible have no idea what they rejected. Let me say it again. Millions of people, I hope I'm overstating it, but I'm not. Millions of people who have rejected Christianity and have rejected the Bible, they have no idea what they've rejected. They were told this or told that, or peer pressure, or, you know, whatever it would be. And then sometimes people say this, well, the Bible's full of contradictions. Well, probably about a year ago, I was in a store. No, I didn't have a list. And I ran into somebody, and we were talking a little bit, and it was, you know, a very pleasant conversation, but in that conversation, the person said, well, the Bible's just full of contradictions. And here's my reply. Name one. Name one. Because usually a person who says that is echoing someone who's not read the Bible, who heard it, and it's almost like a virus. It's almost like a rumor. They go, well, the Bible, you can't count it, because, and you haven't even read it. Haven't even given it a chance. And the Bible's always been under attack, always. I mean, read the history about the Bible. It's always been under attack. You have to wonder why. You have to wonder why. And I've told you this, everything is first of all spiritual. I'll tell you why. Because the enemy of your soul wants to keep you away from the Bible. He wants to keep you out of it. He wants to keep it out of you because of what it will do. And here's the real reason. You ready? Because this is the main way that God reveals himself to us. Now, you'll go outside here in just a few moments and you'll see what is called general revelation. You'll see the sky. You'll feel the wind. You'll see things that are created. And the creation always tells you some things about the Creator. And so you'll know some things about God in that way. But this is the main way that God reveals himself to us, is through his word. And so the enemy will do his dead level best to keep you away from this, to keep you out of it. He will, I promise you, he'll give you 11 reasons why you can't read the Bible today. And he doesn't want you in it. And my goodness, he doesn't want it in you. And that should fire you up. Because therein is the difference. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen? So, in case you are skeptical, or in case you're wondering, and that's okay, just continue that search. Why should I trust the Bible? I've got two books I want to recommend to you this morning. The first one is called, Why Should I Trust the Bible? And it's by Timothy Paul Jones. And great read. He actually is a PhD. He grew up in a pastor's home, had faith, didn't know why he really had faith, just because, kind of, went away to college and pretty much deconstructed his faith and wondered all these things, why should I trust the Bible? And this is how he reconstructed his faith. It's a very compelling read, and I think it would speak to most of the questions anybody would have. And then another book is a real classic. It's by C.S. Lewis, and it's called Surprised by Joy. And one of the great thinkers of our day, and man, incredible classic. Both of these are good reads. I think they'll really guide you along. C.S. Lewis talks about his early years as a thinker and as an atheist and what kind of led him around to believing in God and trusting in God's word. So some powerful stuff there. All right. Well, let's go into God's word here for a moment and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, because here's what we're after, y'all. Listen, I told you it's past time. Ready? There's still time. There's still time. Start today that we get serious about our faith and we get serious about our relationship with God. So all scripture, everybody say all scripture. A little stronger. Ready? All scripture.
All scripture.
There you are. I sound like the church now. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Have you ever wondered, what's wrong with me? I know you wonder all the time, what's wrong with them? I wonder that one a lot, but the other real question is, what's wrong with me? Scripture will be a mirror for you and help you in that way. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's beautiful. And then look in Psalm 19. The instructions of the Lord. Now, you're going to see a pattern here. We're going to have instructions and decrees and commands and precepts. All of those refer to the Bible, to the Word of God. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. There's nothing else out there that does that. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They're sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. Just some of the benefit of God's word. Now, I'll say it again. You and I need to encounter Jesus through the Bible. So here's our starting point. You ready? Here's our starting point. Begin with the Gospels. I'm going to give you a plan today. Everybody say it. Begin with the Gospels. So here's your starting point. The Gospels are the first four books of the New Testament. And in particular, though, I would point you to the Gospel of John. Go to the Gospel of John. Now, let me just pause right here and say, well, I already know all this stuff. That my job is not to come up with something new for you. My job is to get you on the things that work and to be led by God and deliver this to you. And I don't care if you've been a believer for 50 years, 60 years, whatever. It is time for us to discover and maybe rediscover the power of the Gospels, the power of the Bible, so that we can rediscover Jesus in our life. So begin with the Gospels. Come on, everybody, read that again. Begin with the Gospels. And like I said, the Gospel of John would be a great starting place. Look at this at the end of the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Watch this. But these are written that you may believe. These are written specifically so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. And some of you may be saying, okay, you said you're going to give us a plan. Pastor, I'm busy. I just don't have time. Is that right? You seem to have time for everything else. You know? And I'm going to go there. Everybody has the same amount of time every day. Okay, I'm really going to go there. Check your screen time. Check your screen time, your phone, your tablet, your computer, your laptop, your TV. Did you know you can actually go on your phone, go to settings? Don't do it right now, because I don't want you to be embarrassed in the house of God. Go to your settings, and then you can go down about 5-6 lines, and it says screen time. And it will also notify you, too, if you have it set up, and it will let you know how you're doing. And it'll show you how many hours you're spending and what you're spending it on. And it will even tell you how many times you pick up your phone to check it. A couple of months ago, it notified me and it says that I'd picked it up that week once every 17 minutes that I was awake. And I thought, what is wrong with me? And see, it is addictive and it steals our time, but it results in this. It results in one of two things typically, waste or angst. Waste in that it added nothing, angst in that it took away. So I was just playing a game. I was just checking on this. I was checking on my friends. I was doing this, looking at their perfect life and posting things about my life. And am I right? Am I talking to the right culture here? So it either ends up in waste, which adds nothing, or angst that takes away. Angst actually is dread, anxiety, and uneasiness. And dread, anxiety, and uneasiness feed and lead to depression. And this greatly impacts our mental, our relational, and our emotional health. And so we've got to be careful concerning this. Some studies, and these studies are skewed now because of quarantine, but showing 5 and 6 hours daily average on our phones. Teenagers were over 7 hours a day. And now all bets are off with quarantine. So it'd be interesting to see what those are. But here's my point. You're saying, I don't have time. Listen, this doesn't take much time to change all your time. And here's what it is. Begin with the Gospels. And here's what I'm asking you to do. Just do 15 minutes every day. 15 minutes a day in the Gospels. Don't get yourself so wound up that I got to read so many chapters every day. That's just like just shoving food down your throat. We got to chew your food, okay? And take our time, and it's got to mean something to us, and we've got to understand it. So 15 minutes. Everybody say 15 minutes. I think you can make the adjustments. And do it in the Gospels. Just 15 minutes. Just start to read through. It may not even be a whole chapter if you read slow or you're intentionally reading slow, and you'll discover Jesus' life and his teachings. You'll begin to encounter Jesus in the Gospels. It will move you from just being vaguely familiar to being practically intimate with Jesus. It will inspire you. It will give you comfort. It will show you the Father. The Holy Spirit will meet you there. I believe you should do this. Set apart a time and a place. I believe early is best. But set apart a time and a place. This is where I go for this. It might be a log out in the woods, or a chair in the corner of your living room or bedroom, or you know, whatever it would be. Find you, set apart a time and a place, and invite the Holy Spirit, and he will meet you there, and he will show you things, and he will teach you things, and he will reveal things, and he will remind you of things, and the Bible will begin to open up to you. I shared with you a couple weeks ago, if you just believe, light comes in. The minute you believe, the veil is taken away and light starts to come in, and God will help you with this. And here's an important principle, taught this for decades. Don't just read the Bible, let it speak to you. So as you're reading through the Gospels, just those few moments reading through, put yourself in the event. Imagine yourself there. Try to hear, try to see, try to look around beyond just what's there. You know, there are times where I see somebody get healed. Jesus opens a blind eye. And it doesn't give you a lot of detail beyond then, but I'm thinking, man, if that was me and he opened my blind eyes, I'd make some noise. I doubt it would be just like, oh thanks, Jesus. What would you do? You know, and when you see him say things and help people and wade past all the lines of culture just to get to people to show them the Father. You know, it impacts you, and you can have an encounter with Jesus in that way. Amen? So let me add on a couple other things. I already took 15 minutes out of your day. Let me take just a few more. Here we go. You ready? A proverb a day. Come on, everybody say it. A proverb a day. There's 31 proverbs. How many days do most months have? The smart crew. Good. How many? 31. So just put it together. Today is the 12th. So I would recommend that you just read Proverbs You are the smart crew. Proverbs 12. But invariably I get these questions. Well, what about on those months where there's not 31 days? Then skip those. Or if you're an overachiever, double up. Okay? What if I read the wrong one on the wrong day? You'll get a really bad rash. No, it's okay. It's okay. Here's what it is. It's the book of wisdom. And if you ask those kind of questions, you need the book of Proverbs. I saw this the other day. We are drowning. We are drowning in information while starving for wisdom. And the book of Proverbs gives us wisdom. And here's the thing. You don't have to be all wise to do wise things. You don't have to be all wise to walk in wisdom. And the book of Proverbs will show you. It's a book of comparisons and contrasts. The wise will do this. The foolish will do this. Let's look real quick. Proverbs 13, verse 20 in the Message. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Look in Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent or wise person sees trouble coming and ducks. A simpleton or a foolish person walks in blindly and they get clobbered. A proverb a day. Begin with the Gospels. A proverb a day. Let me take a little more of your time here. The letters. The letters. There are 27 books in the New Testament. 21 of those 27 are what are called the letters or the epistles. From Romans to Jude, they're all put together for your convenience. And what you need to do is read a section. Just read a section of these letters. These are the instructions to us as New Testament believers. If we would just take just a section, I'm just talking about 3, 4, 5 verses. And if you have a study Bible, most Bibles are marked off. You know, the editors have just given you these sections. And go over it. And guess what? It might be good for you to do that same section a couple days in a row. Get over the horse race of trying to get through the Bible. I think it's good to get through the Bible. I've done that numerous times over my time as a believer, but the more important thing is to get something out of it and let God's Word be speaking to you every day. So just read a little section, and it will help you, and read it and ponder it. And it's instructions for us on how to do life. It's going to show us how to live, how to forgive, how to relate, how to treat people right, how to get your ethics and your values and just what to do when life's working well and what to do when life is not working at all and what to do in good times and what to do in tough times. It gives us what to do. It's instructions for us. Now, I'm just going to read a section just real quick here for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Now, it's this many verses, 9 through 18. Will y'all be all right? Does anybody need water or anything? Okay. And this would just be an example. You could just, I'm currently just meditating over, studying out some things on just this little passage. What's this? And it's in the New Living Translation. It'd be real clear for us. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Imagine what would happen if that went viral. Imagine what would happen if we just did that. And listen, anything he tells you to do or not do, he'll help you. The Holy Spirit will meet you there to help you with that. One last thing today. So begin with the Gospels. Proverb a day, the letters, and here we go. I'm skipping Ephesians right now. Find the promises. Come on, read it with me. Find the promises. And I've been saying this for 3 decades. For every problem, there is a promise. For every problem, there is a promise. Say it with me. For every problem, there is a promise. I want you to say it one more time. For every problem, there is a promise. Because later today or tomorrow, sometime this week, you're going to realize, uh-oh, we got a problem. And you need to know that for every problem, there is a promise in God's Word. Now, by some calculations, there's over 8,000 promises. I believe there's more than 3,000 promises. However many there are, whatever problem you have, there is a promise either specifically or by principle that speaks to that promise. Well, Pastor, how do I find that? How do I find that? It used to be you looked in your concordance or you had a promise book, but now, you ready? You Google it. You just Google it. Well, I don't use all of that because I'm guarding my screen time. Then ask your friend, okay? But you know, call somebody. Google it. And here's all you have to do. Bible verse 4, and then whatever your problem would be. You know, maybe it's, you know, difficult person or anxiety or whatever it would be. And I promise you, just in seconds, verses are going to come up. And then go and find those and let those speak to your life. Amen? Listen, you've got to encounter Jesus for yourself and discover and rediscover him in Scripture. He's the goal of what you're searching for, every one of us, and you'll never be the same. One last verse out of Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I would rather have joy and rejoicing than dread and angst. And the Word of God will bring that to you. My prayer for you, listen to me, do not be a hearer only. Okay, I hear you, Pastor. And then just go your way. From the Bible itself, it tells us that you'll fool yourself. You'll trick yourself if you hear and you don't do. But you'll be blessed if you hear and you do. This is so easy to do. The Holy Spirit will meet you there. Any effort that you make toward God, you draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. You make effort toward him, he'll honor that. He will help you in that and he'll meet you. Begin with the Gospels. Begin with the Gospels. Start in that even today. It's going to be a blessing to you. I'm going to stop right there. Did you get anything at all out of this today?